Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ron Timmermans, an independent master flight and ground instructor from Orlando, Florida. He's an airline transport pilot with over 7,000 hours of flight time, most of which is in Beechcraft Bonanzas and Barrens.
Hello, I'm Ron Timmermans, one of the many hosts for the Florida Aviation Network, and I'm pleased to welcome you to the 48th annual Sun and Fun Expo, Aerospace Expo, here in Lakeland, Florida. I'm with the Florida Aviation Network, as I mentioned, and we're broadcasting live in the clear from the Sun and Fun campus. We're in the Central Florida Aerospace Academy building, where we have our studio temporarily set up, and a number of folks are coming by for very interesting interviews that we're bringing to you about every 30 minutes or so. So this is yet another of those continuing series of interviews. So a big air show like this, a big expo like we have at Sun and Fun this week, goes on every year, but it doesn't go on without a lot of volunteer help. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of volunteers make this place happen for the thousands and thousands of visitors that come here each and every year and enjoy the air show and the whole aerospace expo experience. Some of those volunteers are from the local Lakeland area, of course, some from Orlando and Tampa and throughout Florida, and others from throughout the United States, and even others from another country. And what we would normally see on the flight line and in the Warbirds area is some young men and women from the UK who are part of the Royal Air Force Cadet Program. And each year, routinely, 40 to 50 of them come along with their adult sponsors and leaders to do volunteer work here. This year, unfortunately, they're missing. And we're going to find out why that is from our guest today, who is Squadron Leader John Wogelmuth from the UK. So, John, thank you so much for coming here today and agreeing to an interview. And so tell us a little bit about yourself and this whole Royal Air Force Cadet Program that I at least introduced to our audience.
So I'm an officer in the Royal Air Force Air Cadets, which is a cadet program sponsored by our Royal Air Force. Very similar to the Civil Air Patrol. We have no operational role, unlike the Civil Air Patrol, but you know, it's very associated, very aviation-based. We have about 922 units in the UK dotted around all the local towns. And units are about 30 cadets. All wear the same uniform, all of the Royal Air Force. So in the UK, our cadet numbers are higher than actually our serving members in the Royal Air Force. So,
is that right?
So in the UK, the public are more likely to see a cadet in the Royal Air Force uniform than a serving sort of member in our military. So it's a very thriving organisation and growing all the time, developing all the time. So this year we've had a new space program added to our training, which is like amazing. Cadets can get sort of qualifications that colleges now recognise, which is an absolute first. So when I was a cadet, you got your classification badges and the things you could sort of sew onto your uniform. You went to see an employer and it meant nothing. Now the cadets get certificates from sort of the exam boards in aviation studies and management, and they can take those along, and when they're interviewing for university, college, and jobs, you know, they've now got something else to talk about than I went to school and I got my English and maths.
So it's great for educational
advancement
as well. So yeah. this is great. Now, the Royal Air Force Cadet Program is limited to a specific age group, I believe you told me.
It is, yes, from 12 to 20.
12 to 20, so up through the teenage years for the most part.
Yes.
But at 20, then they age out, and then is there opportunities for them to be adult leaders or role models for other cadets?
We try our hardest to keep our cadets and turn them into adult volunteers. Unfortunately, they're quite bright and they go to university, move out of the area, especially the ones for university. They seem to like the universities as far away from their parents as they possibly can.
So I must admit, I was like that when I was a young person as well. I couldn't wait to get out of home and go off to the university.
And for their development, I can see that that's a real nice idea, you know. But, yeah, it really is a struggle trying to keep sort of the new staff. And the cadets do make probably are the easiest staff members to recruit because they know what the program is.
Sure.
They've been through it.
That would make sense.
So it's much difficult. Sense. You know, we get parents coming on board as staff, which is nice, but sort of cold calling, sort of trying to find people to come along and join is hard work.
Yeah.
And everybody's after anybody that wants to volunteer, so there's lots of people after the same people.
I'm sure.
Know, the scouts and everybody else are all there looking for volunteers.
And these are probably some of the brightest and most energized people, I would imagine, that are willing
to do this. I say our air cadets, we do seem to get sort of the more intelligent sort of youth, those that are interested in aviation, engineering. That's now a big part of our syllabus as well, so we have STEM-based activities, which is one of the neat things about coming here, because this is such a sort of an educational base.
I see. So the volunteers that would come here on other years would also obviously do volunteer work, but when they're not doing the volunteer work, then they can take advantage of the forums for education.
Yes. Yeah,
and go around and look at other airplanes and talk with other pilots and other aviation professionals and the like.
One of my big issues with this camp is in Florida and in the UK. The only reason you go to Florida is a vacation. And trying to get a camp here and trying to convince everybody of the training value and that we're not on vacation is pretty hard. So,
it certainly has worked for the cadets. I mean, obviously they enjoy the area and the climate, I would imagine. And
yeah. I am very passionate about bringing the cadets out here to Sun and Fun in Florida and try and show them the connections between two countries. Big believer that by bringing the cadets out of here, it definitely brings them out of their comfort zone. You know, they're a very long way from their parents, but to come to such an amazing event, to see so many people, the culture, you know, the language is similar, very similar, but there's so many different bits of culture that are different. And also, when they go back home and they're watching the news, all of a sudden, if the US or Florida or Polk County or something happens, all of a sudden, that news is of interest, you know, directly to them because they've been there.
They have been there. I've been there. I know where that is. The same thing happens to me when I hear a news story from London or somewhere in England or on the mainland of Europe, and I've happened to have been visiting there. I can relate to that much better, so I understand what you're...
You can see beyond the TV camera.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing thing.
Well, John, why is it there are no cadets here this year?
That's a sad story, yes. So it was all going very well. It was a risk to start organising the camp, so we did organise the camp. We had it all in place before December. We'd booked up 40 seats on the airlines. It was all the deposits were paid for. And as probably in most countries, Omicron started rising. Our senior leadership had to make a decision on which way they were going to go. And in the end, they had to basically pull the rug on all international sort of visits for our cadets, for any visit. So it wasn't just Sun and Fun that was scrapped.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I had to let the cadets all know in January that they weren't going this year, which is a shame because some of the cadets will be aging out next year, so they won't be able to come. But... I will be trying for next year.
That is too bad. So if any of your cadets are watching this and watching you on the interview, I'm sad as well that you couldn't make it this year. Hopefully you'll be able to make it next year, or if you're aging out, as John mentioned, then perhaps you could come back as a volunteer adult leader and still be part of the program. John, you mentioned you've organized the camp. They really do camp here when they come, don't they?
Yes, we're very blessed. We've got our own campsite. We've got our own staff trailer, so all of the staff have got in a sort of a... We've got an old school trailer, sort of... we've got the old sign workshop that when they built the new facilities here for the maintenance, it was going spare, so Sun and Fun donated that. We paid for the refit. So we've got three trailers in all. We've got even the old Raiders trailer for an admin building. And so that's all over on our campsite. Sun and Fun have painted it in their colours, so it actually all blends in. It's tucked up around the back next to the early birds campsite. So we've got those as neighbours.
Okay. And
we're right next to the wash block, so that's fantastic. And also we're in the campground, so anybody camping, the amount of visitors we get basically interested to see what's going on. You know, we've got a cheeky sign hanging above the entrance saying RAF Lakeland.
Okay, good.
So that usually gets people's interest. And it is interesting the amount of British people that have come out here or even serving Royal Air Force. We've even had, I think it was when the P-8 Poseidons came in, parked up on the Warbird ramp a few years ago, and an RAF squadron leader got off and he's like, well, what are you doing here? And we're like, well, what are you doing on there? But he was in exchange because obviously the UK have bought the P-8s and they're now all over in the UK now, and he was on a training, over here training before they sent them over to the UK.
Very good.
So it's an amazing, and the amount of contacts and people you meet, you know. And what I do like about it is coming here, even this year, I am seeing former cadets that have been on my camp, no longer connected with my organisation, but they're still connected with Sun and Fun. They're still coming over here volunteering with the friends they've made whilst they're on the various areas that the cadets work.
Well, very good. Well, a plug for the volunteers at Sun and Fun. You are a unique group and very much appreciated and needed for the efforts here. And it's so nice to see that once a volunteer, that just puts a spirit in your heart of continuing to want to volunteer at a worthwhile organization like this. And even for international cadets from the UK, wanting to come back even after they're out of the program and still continue to volunteer. So what a great thing that says for the organization here. That's
yeah,
good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's good. Well, so how long have cadets been volunteering and coming here to Sun and Fun? Has it just been the last couple of years, or has it been a long-time effort?
A long-term effort, yes. No, so we started bringing cadets over here in the mid-90s. I say myself, I came over here in for my first Sun and Fun was 1997, still got the T-shirt. The wife would like to throw it away, but she's not going to do any such thing. It does look very tatty now. But yeah, so I come out there, missed a few years, then come back with the original organiser, because he'd retired from our organisation, and I was watching how the cadet system was developing over here and how Sun and Fun and the volunteers were embracing the cadets. Then just come along as a, you know, additional member of staff, and then all of a sudden ended up running it, which I've done for many years now. So,
So by running it, you're talking about the camp and the whole experience.
Oh, the whole experience from organizing the flights and the training, because back home we have to basically train all the cadets, all the sort of signing and directing of aircraft and all things, and all the health and safety, telling them about Florida and hygiene. And we basically start at the basics. You know, we don't assume the cadets have got any knowledge at all on any of it. So we start. So nobody can say they didn't know.
Well, these are good life skills for them to have.
Fantastic.
Then,
yeah.
Even without being a volunteer. But that's great. That's great. So it's quite an experience for the cadets. And
oh, it's an amazing experience.
I'm sure it's a good experience for you as well and your other volunteers, that adult leaders that come along.
I think what's amazing is the amount of open, sort of wide mouths when people are looking at things. And of course, we stay for 2 weeks. So we do 1 week at Sun and Fun. We use the campsite for the whole duration, which is really neat. And we're taken to Kennedy Space Center and things like that, and seeing the Saturn V rocket sort of standing underneath it and all the other things that Florida has got to offer. You know, we may take them to the theme park one day, just being so local. Why not?
Indeed.
A bit of R&R, so... Yeah, so it's really good. So, and we've had cadets that have tried to come back, say, two or three times. Most of the cadets tend to be on this program. We bring them out at 16 plus, because the FAA say they're not allowed out on the ramp under 16. So, and that's quite neat. We bring the sort of more mature cadets, and I really try and make it the more, you know, if I can get the 18-year-olds to 20-year-old cadets sort of, you know, to come out here, that would be the ones I'd be choosing, because they're the ones more likely to sort of not miss their parents, and also got the maturity to actually sort of do what they're supposed to. And it works because, I think the cadets are out of their comfort zone, so they sort of tend to behave themselves. You know, they're sort of very, you know, because everybody says, oh, they're so good. It's like, yeah, they're so good because they've got nowhere to run to. They can't go and hide. you know, indeed. They're not at home, you know, but it's really good because they do, you know, they learn so much.
So of all the hundreds of cadets that you must have, is there an eligibility requirement or an application process that they go through to be able to be selected to be these 40 or 50 people?
The basic one is they must have been on a camp for at least 7 days without their parents. Because we've had in the past cadets that suffer from homesickness, and we still have that, but we've minimised it. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, what have they done? You know, we are looking at the best cadets, the cream of the cadets. And I say at the moment it's mainly for London and our southeast regions, so the sort of home counties of cadets, that's where they come from. And that's really due to who's in charge, the duty holder of the risk of bringing the cadets here. So it's a little bit limited at the moment, but one of our senior management come out here for Sun and Fun a few years ago and thought it was so good, and it had to expand. You know, sort of when I come out here, it was what we call a squadron camp. So out of those 922 squadrons, I was a member of one little squadron, and the cadets were coming from there.
Oh, really?
And then it started what we call a wing. So all the cadets come from Kent in the southeast of England. And then when he came out, he says, this is so good, we need to pass it to more cadets. So now we've got cadets from six of the counties around London.
Has the number of cadets that come to Sun and Fun increased over the years?
When it was just restricted to one little area, numbers did vary. So it could, on the original camp, back in the 90s, I think it was probably about six. And they were staying at Kissimmee. So they bust themselves down and... at the beginning, I think the US Air Force, there was people there, volunteers from the US Air Force were here. So the next camp was they got the tents from MacDill, put the tents up in, Betty's Field, the field across the road. And now Sun and Fun have put a sort of a kitchen unit up, a sort of a lean-to, sort of a big sort of, which is what we use as a kitchen. Uh-huh. We've got concrete pads either side, so the Sun and Fun put the big tents up so we can get about 25 cadets in each. Unfortunately, that's where the issue is. Because obviously we've got to keep the boys on one side and the girls on the other. So if I've only got 10 or 15 girls, you know, that restricts the number. If I could get even sort of cadets, boys and girls, then that would be easy.
Yeah. So most of the cadets then stay in tents in the campground.
Yes, we've got the big
and
tents.
And you have a central galley, I think I heard.
In the middle, yes.
Say. Yeah, that, and so you feed all of these folks.
Yeah, we do all the cooking here ourselves.
Do the cadets do the cooking or the adults? Or?
For the last couple of years, we've been really blessed. We actually had a cordon bleu chef.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was one of our instructors, but our food was amazing. What he could do on a barbecue, which is really what we got. Barbecue and a few gas rings. What he could cook was absolutely incredible.
Wow.
And we'd actually bring guests. Other volunteers had come over as guests and things like that, which was really neat. And the food was really nice. Before that, you know, we had smoked rice, smoked custard, which is not good.
Oh, okay. But it's better to have
on the gas ring. So,
Well, John, as we wrap up here, I think you mentioned that there is some special celebration in the UK coming up
this
year.
Yes, I say this year we've got the Queen Elizabeth's sort of platinum jubilee, so 70 years on the throne, which is absolutely amazing. So we've got an extended bank holiday at the beginning of June, so we've got 4 days off. But it won't be 4 days off because I know we've got parades and sort of all sorts of things going on and parties and stuff. So, really looking forward to that. And
now, do the cadets get involved with community events like parades and the
Very much so, yes.
What functions do they perform there?
They're actually part of the parade, you know, sort of getting the sort of squadron colours and marching up the high street and sort of bands and sort of things like that. So it'd be really good of being part of something and something so special and something so unique.
Yeah,
you know,
that is quite an amazing time on the throne. Yes. So they'll get a nod from the Queen.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, well, that would be great. That would be great. Very fulfilling for the cadets,
very
I imagine.
So yeah.
Good. So do the cadets, some of the cadets or many of them go on to the Royal Air Force?
They do, yes. Uh-huh. They sort of do join our military. We are talking sort of a few, but having been in the cadet program certainly helps their application.
Very good.
I say it's not a guarantee, sort of, there's no sort of fast track, but having shown an interest in the cadets basically shows the recruiters that they probably know a little bit more than the average person. And sort of joining our military is basically like air cadets, but being paid for it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And so you were a cadet. Were you in the Royal Air Force as well?
No, I wasn't. So when I sort of left school, it was what they called options for change, which was when they sort of really reduced the numbers. And I couldn't get a straight answer out of anybody about trades and things. And they'd got rid of all the engineering apprenticeships. So I went and worked for our Ministry of Defence doing an apprenticeship there. So I did a four-year apprenticeship with them. But I stayed with the cadet program.
I see. So the cadet program for you now is still a volunteer effort?
Yes.
Or all volunteer. And the daytime job is what?
I work for a company called Ericsson, and we do all the maintenance on the UK phone networks.
Oh, okay.
Or the mobile networks.
Very good.
So that keeps me entertained during the week.
I imagine it does. And then the volunteer work on the weekends and evenings,
and whenever else you have to put it.
How many hours a week do you put in volunteer work for this organization?
You spoke to my wife, too many. we have two parade evenings a week, so that takes up two nights, probably three hours a session, and weekends, and then you've got all the planning and preparation, so there's an awful lot involved.
Yeah, well, John, thank you for your volunteer work to make this happen for the cadets. And I'm sorry that the cadets were not able to be here this year. We will look forward to you returning next year, and hopefully the planning will proceed, and you'll be able to get everything in place so that next year in April of 2023 we'll see you again, I hope.
I hope so.
And 40 or 50 cadets and some other adult volunteers, that'll be great. So.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again. So, as I mentioned at the beginning, to put on a show like Sun and Fun takes a lot of volunteers, hundreds of them, and we haven't been able to show you all of them, of course, but this was a unique subset that although they're not here this year, they wish they were, and they will be back next year. So the Royal Air Force cadets from the UK who come here each year and provide their volunteer services to make this place happen. Thank you very much for coming. And thank you for watching this interview with Squadron Leader Wogelmuth. And I'm Ron Timmermans with the Florida Aviation Network. We'll look forward to seeing you at the next interview.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.